Well, praise the Lord on this Resurrection Sunday. It's been wonderful up to this point, hasn't it? I mean, I love how God brings and directs our attention to something. And we go through cycles, I think, and that God refreshes our memory about something. And I know that when I'm focused on something and I'm engaging with it, then I'm benefiting from it. And I've thought of that. How many times have you been in a worship service and you really haven't been engaged with it? You're kind of, your mind's elsewhere. Maybe you have concerns for other things. We're distracted. And it's wonderful that we persevere. It's wonderful that we do what we're supposed to do. But everybody knows the difference between when you're engaged, when you are truly in the Spirit, when you're caught up in what you're doing, you know that you're just, there's something different about that, isn't there? Same thing with prayer. And again, what I believe God does for us is He brings us around through these cycles of what's truly important, and He causes us to focus on what's truly important. Today's Resurrection Sunday, how often do we focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what is that all about? How often do we focus on prayer? How often do we focus on... And so the Holy Spirit's so good, without a lectionary, we're not following a lectionary... Not that that's bad, but if you look at the church calendar with lectionary, it's a cycle. They're talking about the birth of Christ, and then they're talking about all the cycle that brings Him to the cross, and then the death, burial, and then now resurrection of Christ. And so God just wants to reinforce all of the basics in our life, right? Then we get to have the joy of some extracurricular things to just fill us out. It's like the spices on the main ingredients, which is fun, but I'm glad that God, the Holy Spirit, causes us to focus on the main ingredients. And as you all know, we've been talking about the ingredients that make up a recipe for a healthy Christian life, healthy Christian experience, and you can just label it a healthy human experience, if you'd like. But fellowship, I don't remember the last time I spoke of fellowship. It was almost to me, because I love studying, I love Bible studies, I love worship, I love prayer. It was almost to me that fellowship was the enemy. You people, you just want a fellowship. Let's get serious here. Let's get down to the Word of God. Let's open the Bible. Let's pray. Stop your fellowshipping and get down to... And so the Holy Spirit has been really good to me to bring us, and maybe very good to you, to bring us... a deeper understanding and causing us to focus on the importance of fellowship. So in 1 John, John's letter, in chapter 1 of John's first letter, in verse 3, it says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." Now, I spoke this morning about an eternal road trip, and we're going back and looking into what it must have been like to walk with Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus pointing His finger at you and saying, "Come, follow Me," and you just go on a road trip with Jesus for 3 years. You walk with Him. You eat together, and I didn't mention it this morning, but when I traveled over on short mission trip over to Europe, it was not uncommon for us to be laid down on the living room floor like cordwood, five guys abreast, to sleep on someone's flat floor. And so when you eat, sleep, and drink together, you get to know one another. You spend time and you develop deep, deep bonds. And so the privilege of that experience for those disciples and apostles must have been amazing. And here the apostle is saying, we want to proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. We walked with Him. We ate together. I put my arm around His shoulder. We did all kinds of stuff together. I listened to Him. I know what His voice sounds like. I know what the expressions on His face look like. And I want to proclaim it to you, the Apostle John said, so that you too may have fellowship with us and our experience, our fellowship with Jesus and with the Father. Isn't that an awesome opportunity? Aren't you glad that John extended that invitation to us, that God did through John? All right. I apologize. My computer's acting weird. Okay, there we go. Hallelujah. Of course, we have to look at the definition of fellowship now. It's one thing to say, hey, it's wonderful, it's important that we have fellowship. Remember in the early church, they gave themselves to the apostles' doctrine. They broke bread together, they had fellowship, and they prayed together. What is this fellowship? Transliteration, koinonia in the Greek, right? Koinonia. Have you ever heard that term? Probably thrown around in the church. Koinonia is the Greek translation for fellowship. And now look at the short definition. It's participation. So the Apostle John was saying that I'm proclaiming this to you because I want you to have participation with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? That the opportunity for us is presented to us to have participation with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And communion. Definition. Contributory help. Participation. Sharing in. Communion. Spiritual fellowship. A fellowship in the Spirit. There's an intermingling between us. Amen? We have communion together. Contributory help. Participation. So let's now carry that in our mind, those words, with us as we go through the message this morning about fellowship. Participation. Sharing in communion. Spiritual fellowship. Now I want to say at this stage of the game before we move on, how important it is. Because you can't have koinonia with someone in the world. Did you know that? The definition of fellowship here is spiritual fellowship, communion, a fellowship in the Spirit. How can you possibly have fellowship with someone who is not born again? You can't. The only way we can experience koinonia is when we are surrounding ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about removing ourselves from the world and going and getting a commune and like isolating ourselves. I'm not talking about that. What we're talking about is how important fellowship is. And so when we're trying to understand what it is, you can't explain to yourself or give somebody else an explanation that I have fellowship. I went to the community center last night. We did some bowling. Just because you're surrounding yourself with humanity doesn't mean it's fellowship. It's not the key ingredient. You're not getting the nutrition of fellowship just by bowling. Fellowship is a fellowship in the Spirit, a spiritual thing. Okay? A partnership in the Spirit. A partnership with the Father, a partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty exciting. Okay, now look at this B. Remember the B. This one looks like he just came out of the Holy of Holies. Can you see it? He's completely covered in pollen from head to toe. And remember we learned that the bee has an electrostatic charge that attracts the pollen? And we talked about attracting heavenly things and things of the kingdom and attracting that. And I was just reminded of the story of Joshua. And remember, Joshua was Moses' apprentice? And so Moses was leading Israel. And Moses was an example. And God gave direction on how to build a tabernacle to Moses. And Moses erected a tabernacle, and there were different tribes. It was all set up in a certain way. And there was a tent that Moses went into and hung out and experienced the presence of God. And then Joshua, being a good student, a disciple, a learner, doer, Joshua came along his side and learned how to be a successful leader was by hanging out in God's presence. And it's so much so that when Moses came out, there's two examples here that I want to share with you. When Moses came out from God's presence and came down to the congregation, his face shone brightly. So much so that he put a veil around it, remember? That's kind of what this bee looks like. When you're in God's presence, you're attracting kingdom things. You can't come out from God's presence and look the same. You're going to be covered in pollen. And Joshua did the same thing. He was in the tabernacle, and he remained in the tabernacle even after Moses went home. Talk about being all churched out. Even when Moses went home, Joshua remained in the tabernacle. And that must be what Joshua looked like when he came out of the tabernacle, just covered from head to toe with kingdom pollen. All right? So, moving right along, that bee's covered with pollen. How many of you know someone like that? Do you know someone that is covered in the presence of God? Every time you're around them, you enjoy it. You're attracted to them. You seek out opportunity to be with them because they are covered head to toe with the pollen of the kingdom. You enjoy being in their presence. You're attracted to it. Now, what good would it be if that bee, who's completely covered with kingdom pollen, just kept to themselves? Remember the strategies against the gift. Why are you carrying around pollen from the kingdom? Why? Why does a bee gather pollen? Remember, it's in God's design. We looked at it last, that the bee would travel from one flower to the next because things reproduce after their kind. That bee focuses on all the same kind of flower. Why? Why did God design it like that? What good would it be if that bee just went to one flower, covered himself with pollen, and then just went and hung out on a rock somewhere and soaked in the sun? It's God's design that he picks something up and then go to another place, and as a result of him going to this other place, he's distributing what he picked up in the former place. There's purpose in fellowship. We ought to be on our knees every morning. We ought to be in God's presence every morning when we read the Word. We need to be in the tabernacle with God. We need to be getting covered in God's pollen every morning when we wake up. But then we need to launch out into our day. We need to go around. We need to stop up and see Mike at the guard shack. Get out of your car. Don't just wave at him. Give him a hug and get some kingdom pollen on him. And guess what? You know what? Mike probably has some pollen from his own experience yesterday morning or this morning. And you just might pick something up from Mike. And so tomorrow, next week, I want to talk about what the pollen is. But I want to talk specifically today about the importance of fellowship. Spiritual mingling. We need to be getting together and not count it less than studying your Bible. Not count it less than prayer. Not count it less than worship. Fellowship is a wonderful thing that we've been experiencing on Saturday night, isn't it? Someone might, who is not very aware, walk into the room and see us playing cards and think that that's not very spiritual. But I want you to know that my experience when we played cards Saturday night, last Saturday night, I came out encouraged and blessed. I picked up, I laughed, we had tears coming down our cheeks. It wasn't silliness. It was just good, healthy fellowship. We're all spending time with God. We're worshiping. And we are learning what it is like to love one another. To be together. And there is an obstacle. There is a strategy from the devil to prevent that from happening. There's offenses. People get offended at one another. And difficulties with personalities. Everybody's personality is different. It's hard to tolerate some people, huh? The devil will cause you to focus on that, and it'll be all magnified to the degree that you don't want to go over and intermingle. And consequently, even if you've been really good at spending time with God and you're covered with the things of God, like pollen all over the bee, it's not benefiting the body of Christ. It's not blessing the body of Christ. The devil wants to keep us isolated. But guess what? We don't listen to him, do we? God's gift offered is not only to the Israelites, but to others as well. So here's an example of how it might have been an obstacle for Peter. I'm going to look at the book of Acts, and we'll start in chapter 1. Remember, Jesus was the first one to come here and share the kingdom with us. And now he was giving us the opportunity to do the same. So Jesus came as a worker bee with the pollen of heaven all over him. And he brought it down to earth. And he's just distributing the kingdom principles and things to anybody who would follow him and intermingle with him and walk with him. So Acts chapter 1 verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized.'" You're going to be covered with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Baptized means overwhelmed. You're going to look like that bee. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You're not just carrying around a couple sacks of pollen on your back leg like luggage. You're covered with pollen. Every whisker, every hair is just completely covered with the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, to all Judea, to Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" Okay? So there's the promise from God. The apostles heard it. So they, at that point, they intermingled with Jesus, and they got covered. They got some of this Holy Spirit pollen on them and instructions. Go with this pollen and carry it to these other flowers. Now, Peter had to choose to either withhold God's gift or release it. In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9, "The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near a city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray. About the sixth hour, when he became very hungry and wanted to eat, while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open, an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him and said, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.' And a voice spoke to him a second time, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' This was done three times, and the object was taken into heaven." Okay? So God is now helping Peter with this transition, because the devil might have used his old teaching, Peter's old teaching, that you are not to associate with foreign nations. See, I'm this old mindset that Peter has of that God gave Israel kingdom pollen, and you are to keep it within your group. Protect it. But Jesus is now speaking to him that now you're going to be taking the kingdom pollen and bringing it over to other places. You're going to be sharing it. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit are preparing Peter to get out of that old mindset so that he will become a carrier of the promise of God to other nations and to other people. And then now in verse 22 of the same chapter of Acts, chapter 10, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. What would have happened if Peter didn't listen? What would have happened if Peter kept his mindset? How many believe that the devil is trying to keep us contained by old mindsets, by old laws, by old world views, by old offenses? He's trying to keep us contained and prevent us from going to other people and carrying. But fortunately, God in his faithfulness and his wisdom knew how to speak to Peter. And fortunately, Peter had courage and he had an obedient heart. Because Peter had courage and an obedient heart, he listened to God, and as a result, amazing things happened in Cornelius' house and village. So much so that it totally broke tradition at the time, because up to this point, people are baptizing new disciples in water, and then they come up and the Spirit comes on them. But Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost first. And then he's going, who can withhold water from these people? Evidently, God has put his seal on them and his seal of approval on them that if they can be accepted by God, will you not accept them with your tradition of baptism? It's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? How would have Cornelius gotten the heavenly pollen all over him if Peter went with the outer man? And isn't that what it's all about? All right, the ingredient of fellowship is so important. I'm going to talk about the pollen next week and the message about the method of sharing pollen. This week is about the method of sharing pollen, and that's fellowship. Without fellowship, God's kingdom would not come. Remember, Lord, how do we pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Without cross-pollination, without fellowship, this is God's method of sharing kingdom things, sharing the life and love. It's through fellowship. And the theme of connection this morning has already been out there, isn't it? The idea of being connected, getting out there. His kingdom's not going to come if we don't have fellowship. His will not be done on earth as it is in heaven if we don't have fellowship. Because why? We know what his will is. Love one another. Make sure that your love for one another is at full strength as these last days approach. That's his will. And how can that be if we are all isolated and doing our own thing? If we all have our own lives, we're all too busy to have fellowship, because fellowship is not very important. That's an old mindset. There would be no body of Christ, right? Without fellowship, there would be no body of Christ. It's God's will, and it's the plan of God that there be a people that would be joined together and come together. And one of the ways that that happens is through fellowship. Participation with one another. What could that look like? Fellowship. Could it be a car wash? Could a group of Christians get together and have a car wash? It's a mutual participation. We're getting together. We're laughing together. We're sharing with one another the things of God. How about no bride? If Pat decides to stay home, Dion decides to stay home, Mike decides to stay home, Lisa decides to stay home, everybody just decides to stay home. We're not intermingling. We're not doing things together. How can relationships happen? How can relationships and friendships develop? How can there be mutual participation on anything? You get a bunch of individuals. Caution, there's a big red flag against about rebellion. That when we have this attitude, when we have something about us that starts to drive us and it starts to move us contrary to the plan of God, it's rebellion. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. There's a big caution flag about that. People doing their own thing for God. There's a big danger in that. I'm clothing the naked. I'm feeding the hungry. I'm visiting the prisoner. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. All this serving God. You know what? I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where when we meet the Lord face to face and we say that it's been said about us that we're loving one another, that he turns to them and says, "Depart from me." You don't see that anywhere in scripture. But you can clothe the naked and he says, "Depart from me." You can lay hands on the sick and he says, "Depart from me." You can do all that stuff and he still can say, "Depart from me." But when we are loving one another, when we are having fellowship with one another and with the Father and with the Son, he will never say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That's the key. It's the knowing, the fellowship. When you spend time together, you start to know one another. And truly, our fellowship is with one another and with the Father and with Jesus. When we're playing cards, our fellowship is with each other and with Jesus. We're conscious of Jesus' presence. We're conscious of the Father's presence. We're conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence. When we're washing cars, when we're having a picnic, when we're praying, when we're having conversation, don't allow the devil to devalue fellowship. Fellowship. I have something unbelievably precious, and you need what I have. And you have something unimaginably amazing, and I need what you have. If you ever feel like staying home, realize, I have something that you all need. I have something precious. You have a treasure in an earthen vessel. You know what one of the devil's strategies is? You don't have anything. He allows you to devalue yourself. He allows you to have a poor self-image. The devil persuades you that you're a less than Christian. The devil persuades you, and we come into agreement with these insecurities and inferiority complexes, all to keep us from bringing what we have. We have something tremendously special. Everyone, every Christian. And number one, don't prevent others from receiving what you have. And secondly, guess what? Somebody has something that you need. We're never an island unto ourselves. I feel bad about, what's his name, that sang, "I Did It My Way." You know what I mean? It's a hard thing to do it your way. It's a hard thing to be an island unto yourself. It's a hard thing to be alone. It's an intrinsic quality that the human being has to be in fellowship. You've heard the stories about infants when they're orphans and they're in an incubator and things like that. Those that have had touch, they become healthy quicker. They develop into healthier children. They have less diseases when they're older. It's designed in us to have fellowship. And the devil has a strategy to keep us from one another so that I can't bring to you what I have and I can't receive what you have for me. Amen. I believe that as we put, when we honor fellowship and put it in its rightful place and engage with fellowship, I believe that we're going to see the next big move of God that we're all anticipating, that we're all waiting for. I think true fellowship, truly loving one another, is going to be the catalyst to seeing the thing that we all are longing for. How many are longing for the next big move of God? Do you want to read about it in the paper? Do you want to see it on Christian TV? Do you want to say, oh man, it's over in Australia. Oh, why is revival in Europe? It's going to cost me a fortune to buy a plane ticket to get there. Oh no, the next big move of God's in San Francisco. We missed out. I honestly believe that as we engage with this, we embrace it, we honor it, when we truly love one another, we are going to see it. People are going to be all over the world. They're going to be going, God is moving on Fisher's Island. Hallelujah. All right, in closing, there's a few fellowship scriptures. And it truly is closing. It's the last page on the PowerPoint. Fellowship scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you know that you have a little ball of pollen on you of encouragement? And you can just pop that off and you can put it on Mike's back someday. Yep. Isn't that cool? You can encourage someone. That can't happen if you stay home. That can't happen if you stay isolated. That can't happen if you come into agreement with the strategy of the devil. And look at all the more. As you see the day drawing near, the day being the return of Christ, the last days, all the more love one another, all the more have fellowship. And that's completely combined with Peter's letter. Make sure in these last days that your love for one another is at full strength. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity and in the bond. Again, that ties together with the harness, doesn't it? There's confinement that comes with this. The harness of the Lord coming over us. There's discipline. But trust me, it's for our good and for the good of all those around us. Okay, Ephesians 4, verse 16. Jesus, who is the head, the whole body grows from him as it is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. You can't have a body without fellowship. Isn't this good? I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. It's a crucial ingredient, fellowship. I'm glad that we're focusing on it right now. Be aware. When we focus on something, then typically the devil will come and try to hurt the fellowship. You know? But if we do what the Bible tells us to do, if we read these scriptures, if we say, Father, I see how important this is to you. I see how important this is to the body of Christ. And I see how important it is to me. I am going to persevere in this. I will not allow the devil to come in. And I will not come into agreement with any of his whispers. I will not allow the flesh to dominate and get its own way. I am determined to have a unity in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this word. I thank you for the word fellowship, this ability to have participation with you, Lord God, and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and with one another. And Lord, I'm just confident that as we pursue this and engage with it, Lord God, that we are going to experience a manifestation of God and the kingdom like we've never seen before. Help us, Lord, to know and embrace and engage with true fellowship. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.